right, gang, group hug time. I know the Eagles game was a bummer last night, but we have work to do. It's Monday morning. Let's forget about it and escape into the wonderful world of the John DeBella Show. It's Monday, January 14th. Dave here, as usual, with all the best stuff from today's show. Of course, we talked the letdown in New Orleans last night, but we weren't going to let that get us down. After all, I don't think anybody expected to be talking playoff football mid-January this season. We talked about baseball as well. Perhaps the Phillies will be giving us something to cheer for in the coming days. We heard a recording of a dad's, well, I guess speak-to-text, text-to-speak, some sort of car technology that can read text messages, something far beyond my car's capabilities. And we also heard about Bigfoot being spotted down south, a flat earth cruise, a new world record in the most social media likes. We chatted with Chris Epting, musicologist and all-around classic rock scholar. He broke down Elton John's Benny and the Jets. We thinned the herd as we do every Monday morning and had a huge concert announcement that you're definitely gonna want to know about. So that's all in here for you. Let's get to it. Here we go. It is the Daily Podcast.
I want to talk about this a little more later on in the show, right? But you have to admit, if anything at all, the Eagles game was the only football game of the weekend.
It really was.
I mean, everything else was just boring.
Horrible.
Although the Kansas City game was exciting.
I was excited to see that because, well, one, I thought it was going to be a good game, but they added snow factor to
it.
Right, yeah. I mean, it was still sort of a wet fart, but.
Not very competitive at all.
But I got to tell you, that's like watching a flea run on a dog, right? Watching Mahomes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that team's fun to watch. And that's who I'll be rooting for from here.
I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. Might as well root for Andy.
Yep. Forget it.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock 102.9 MGK.
Speaking of ahead of us, we were talking about a band and a concert possibility on Friday. And at this point in time, I cannot mention, if you missed that report, I cannot mention who they were or what we're talking about. But I can tell you that I can tell you right after we're done with Thin Herd this morning.
Cool.
All right, as soon as we're done with Thin Herd, I can make an announcement about this big concert by this big band in a big stadium, and I have tickets to give away to it. So it's all coming up. Figure about 8:20 this morning we'll give you the opportunity at that. And because everybody in the 6 o'clock hour is so happy with texting into us, right, a lot of people will text in the answer to the question from hell in the morning.
Right, uh-huh.
right, which does you no good other than the fact that it gives you text practice, right? But seeing that you're so happy to text, of course, you could be on the air with us at 9 o'clock when we do the bright side. So if you got something you want to say, a shout-out you need to happen, somebody you want to goof on, something you need to celebrate, text it on into us at MGK, MGK. That's 645-645. So it looks like the Phillies are really the ones who are going to land Bryce Harper.
Yeah, that's what it seems, yeah.
Five-hour meeting in Vegas, right? Yeah, 5-hour meeting in Vegas. They had like two different presentation films. His wife was there. They were selling him on Philly and selling him on it in a big way. You know, so and there were some former Phillies that, you know, I don't know if they were part of it, but probably could help with the sale in a big way. And I'm not talking about the Mike Schmitz. I'm talking about the more recents. This looks like this might be a done deal.
Yeah, I feel like it sort of is a done deal already. There's certain things that they're waiting on, like MLB The Show to finish the Photoshop of Bryce Harper on the cover of what team, because that's how it's announced, getting announced.
Oh, really?
These guys deal with the video game, and they're going, so the cover that's out right now is him wearing a black and white zip-up jacket, like batting practice
jacket. Nondescript.
And they're going to put that out with whatever team he chooses.
I see.
So we're waiting on graphic designer, basically.
Let's go.
That's what it is. Now Machado, on the other hand,
right,
if we get the two of these, buy your season ticket.
Oh, I mean,
they want to sign these two guys before spring training. Because if they sign them before spring training, right, season tickets will go through the roof.
Yep.
Right. Supposedly, all of a sudden, there is a mystery team.
Planet X that has
popped up in the Machado deal. Right. And we were like supposedly in the lead for this. And now all of a sudden, a mystery team, which, as Steve will explain, is usually
agent speak. That is the agent is
a figment of the agent's imagination.
Now, I mentioned this to you guys. The Phillies have been that mystery team before.
Yes, that's true.
They've swooped in before.
Like Cliff Lee.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be some team that just comes out of nowhere. It's the Phillies, it's the White Sox, and the Yankees are still sort of floating around there because they're never really
just
out
get
of
one
it
of the two.
Yeah, but the Yankees signed that DJ LeMahieu. What the hell was?
Yeah,
his
but
name?
It's no salary cap in baseball. It's the Yankees. Listen, if George Steinbrenner were still alive, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He would have signed both of them 2 months
That's
ago.
True. That's true.
We'll see.
Speaking of things that are no longer alive, look. I'm proud of the team.
No one
expected them to get this far. Nope. Right? Of course, we're talking about the Eagles, right? And we are talking about the fact that it was the only true game that happened this weekend.
Yeah.
There was a game. You didn't know what the outcome was going to be.
Right.
But the New England game, I kept texting the two of you, one more touchdown and I'm watching a movie.
Yeah. Right? Netflix and Prime were very happy with that game.
I saw a great tweet about that New England-San Diego game yesterday that said, in the New England downfall, I figured there would be a lot less dominance while this whole thing was going on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah. Right, right. You know.
Another year, another New England Patriots team in the AFC Championship
right,
game.
Right, you know, remarkable as it is, you got to tip that. I think the most brilliant thing in the New England game was the fact that Belichick pulled out plays that he hasn't used in years, and nobody was prepared for it.
Yeah.
All right, you know, so, you know, the man is a genius. Yeah. No fashion icon, but a genius.
Go, Andy.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Sounds good.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
I got to tell you something. You did this to me yesterday. Every once in a while, I'm not an emoji fan, right? I think in the time that emojis have been around, I still have more fingers than emojis I've used, you know, in a text message. Okay. And you sent me one yesterday during the game. One of the two of you did. And I couldn't even figure out what the hell it was. It was a face. It was doing something.
I don't know what it was.
No idea.
Nor do
it's probably an anger face.
I thought it was a middle finger that I probably sent you.
that would work well, too.
Yeah. Well, no, that I've gotten from you a number of times. All right. But a dad posted this online the other day, and I find it absolutely hilarious. He gets a text message from his 14-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. It's totally in emojis.
Okay.
The entire thing is in emojis, right? And he's riding in his car, and his car has the ability to read text. You know, he's got it, you know, comes up on the screen. So he sets it to read the text, and this is the message that he got from his daughter.
Theo Reynolds said, 35 emoji, a grinning face, a sunglasses face, a crazy face, 7 smiley faces, a face crying with laughter,
jeez,
2 faces with tongue out, 2 faces with monocles, 2 smirking faces, 3 party faces, a goofy face, 3 kissing faces, an upside down face, 2 faces rolling on the floor laughing, a sad face, an unamused face, 2 nerd faces, 3 winking faces, and a worried face. Would you like to reply?
My head hurts.
Going through some mood swings there.
Yeah, what do you reply to that?
Right. I think that finger thing
middle
comes
middle finger
in.
Emoji.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Wow.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Every once in a while, a story will come past, and we're like, what the hell is going on with this one? Well, it seems that a group of people, I've got to find this story, but a group of people in North Carolina, somebody did this in North Carolina, put up a wooden statue of Bigfoot in the woods just outside, on a road outside of Moxville, North Carolina recently.
Okay.
Right. I wonder if Debbie knows anything about Moxville, right? And it prompted a number of 911 calls.
I've always thought that there was something in them woods.
You never know what's really out there.
I thought, oh my gosh.
I was like, what in the world is going on back there?
Wait a minute, am I seeing what I'm seeing?
I mean, people were just saying, no. Kind of wild looking.
It wasn't even moving. It was a wooden statue. And I'm telling you, I mean, there is just too much stupid to get to today. We can't fit it all in Thin the Herd.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I suppose you know what it is about you that fascinates him.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
It's the hair on your chest.
102.9.
Ooh, wow, I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
MGK.
So as I said, the stupid, you know what? It must be in, like, we're 2 weeks into the year now.
Right.
So now the stupid is beginning to build up. We're beginning to get that backlog of stupid. We were a little bare for a couple of weeks. Right, but we've got the people who saw a wooden statue of Bigfoot claiming that it was real.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and of course we got Thin the Herd coming up at 8:10. But here's this one: a group of flat earthers who I don't understand these people. In this day and age, right? In this day and age, when we could take pictures of the Earth from space and you could keep taking pictures and show that the picture changes. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's the thing, though, John. Yeah. There's Photoshop these days.
Oh, that's what it is. So we know what Asia looks like, and we could put it next to South America if we want to.
We could.
Okay.
Sure. Why not?
A group of flat earthers have chartered a cruise to prove their theory.
I hope they are right, and I hope they fall off the earth.
I want it. More than anything else, I know that won't happen, but boy, do I want to know just this one time that it is flat and they fall off the edge.
I want to know who is funding this. Like, what kind of cruise is this? Is this like a big Carnival cruise ship, or is it a
rickshaw?
A dinghy.
Unfortunately, I don't have that much more of it. But you know what? I would be happy if it just sank.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
He's an author. He's a musicologist. He's just an all-around swell guy. Joining us once again is Chris Epting, the author of the book, If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 Lyrical Lines That Helped Define the 70s. You know, the last time we spoke to you, we started talking about, all these bands that are going on their final tours. And now we've got another guy here. We got Elton John, another guy. We got another guy here.
One of these guys here.
Right. Benny and the Jets.
A lot of these farewell tours have these kind of disclaimers at the end where it's like, I may still do a residency somewhere.
But
as far as the big tour goes, and this is a big one, and by all accounts thus far, the shows are amazing, and he's really, I think Elton's always been really good about getting into deep cuts. You know, we've got that many hits, it's hard to balance, but I think an Elton John show usually brings you pretty much a full span of his career, but Benny and the Jets is certainly not a deep cut. It's right at the top. It's one of the most well-known tunes that he'll always play, and there's some cool stuff going on in there.
I've got to ask you something, because this is something, because I was working in a movie theater, and this was the opening song in a movie called something like Aloha Bobby and June, Aloha Bobby and Somebody.
Right.
All right. And it starts out with this crowd. This isn't a live song, is it?
No. That's what I was going to say. I think when people first heard it, because the producer Gus Dudgeon wove in those audiences at the beginning and end, but they are clips from actual Elton John shows. The 1972 show at Royal Festival Hall in London, and then the whistles, those very prominent whistles, came from an Elton John show in Vancouver early in the 70s. So they are authentic Elton John sonic artifacts, but it's not a live song. It's done in the studio, but definitely they were going for kind of that quasi-live feel on Goodbye Yellow Brick Road with this song.
I'm glad to know that I was right all this time.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, you can put that one to rest. One thing you may not have known, though, is the falsetto that he sings in the outro verse there.
Right.
That's actually an homage to Frankie Valli. When he goes up into that high register, which is what a falsetto is, of course, Elton John had seen Frankie Valli as a kid and was really kind of inspired by him. And so he does that part at the end. You know, look, that album in a lot of ways was a sort of a pastiche of pulling together a lot of American elements. You know, they're writing about Roy Rogers on the album, Marilyn Monroe. I mean, I think Bernie Taupin in particular was really inspired by American iconography. And so the record has got all these kinds of influences throughout. All the young girls love Alice, supposedly about Alice Cooper and all this. But the thing that really gets me, though, about this song, this is one of my favorite Elton John songs, is that there was a band in Detroit in the early 70s called Benny and the Jets.
Okay.
Before the record came out. And so I always wondered, and Taupin's never copped to this, but was this just something they picked up on the road early in the day where they saw that band's name? I mean, that group was actually a singer named Benny who loved the movie West Side Story, and used the Jets as, you know, one of the gangs, and that's how that came about. Because I used to think that, you know, Zappa had the record Cruising with Reuben and the Jets in the 60s.
Right.
And then there was a group called Reuben and the Jets. As a result, I thought, well, maybe that's where he got it. But the fact that there was actually a band called Benny and the Jets, I think really leads one to believe that maybe they heard that sound. I mean, Taupin has described that song as Benny being kind of a weird, robotic female character he was writing about. But the name is kind of weird. That's too heavy a similarity, I think, to not have been at least subconsciously influenced on some level.
Well, he is Chris Epting. His book, There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 Lyrical Lines That Helped Define the 70s. It is always a pleasure. Oh, wait a second. The applause is coming. The crowd is just working their way in. Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.
The John DiBella Podcast.
You don't know how to die, do you?
102.9.
There's a lot of money to be made.
MGK.
I'm not sure, Anne, if you are somebody who follows the influencers on the internet, on the Facebook pages and the Instagram and all that noise, right? Or if do you like Kylie Jenner, Anne?
Oh, I know of her.
Okay.
Great answer.
I have to honestly say that I have never, and the last time I said this, you guys were in shock. I have never hit the like button on anything. You know, if
yeah,
I like something,
weird.
If I like something, oh, that's nice. You know, and that's it. All right. So, and this is about the math behind the influencers.
Okay.
All right. Kylie Jenner, who had the record for the most posts on Instagram. All right. For the most likes on Instagram for any one post. All right. All right. Just under 18.2 million likes on something she posted.
Okay.
Wow.
Yesterday she was surpassed.
Uh-oh.
By 18.23 million likes by a photo of a brown egg.
Good.
All right. That's it.
There you go.
That's what likes mean, folks. All right. Anybody, oh yeah, it's an egg. That's all it was. It was just a picture an egg.
Is there more to that? Like, do I need to know more? Why were people liking this egg?
No. No, that's it.
Because Vinny Brand's account is mega popular. And he sells them super cheap. Actually, it's a lie.
Selling brown
eggs. Never buy eggs from Vinny Brand.
No, they're overpriced.
So overpriced.
The John DeBella Podcast. 102.9.
Yeah, it does hurt.
MGK.
In the herd. In the herd.
Personally, I have two stories that are very, very similar this morning, and this one starts off with an impressive level of overweight. All right, a chubby, I'll call him chubby, 30-year-old guy named Frederick Johnson was arrested for trespassing at a Greyhound bus station in Memphis. When police patted him down, they found several bags of what appeared to be drugs, and they took him to jail. And then they searched him again, and while he was being booked and they were searching him, they felt, and I'm quoting, a semi-erect object protruding from his left side just above his groin.
Oh, Fred.
Okay. At first, they assumed that it could be the only semi-erect thing that one would normally find down there. But then they felt something else poking out from the other side of his lower belly. So they decided to strip search him. And that's when they lifted a large fat roll and pulled out a 2-foot-long machete he was trying to smuggle into jail.
God.
All right. On top of other charges, he's now facing more time for sneaking contraband into prison.
In the herd.
And this is the first of two this.
Wow.
What do you got?
August Williams is a 46-year-old man from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he tried to kidnap a woman at a strip mall.
Okay.
He tried to force her into his car. She ran away. Good for her. And she smartly ran into a karate studio.
Okay.
Well, the studio's instructor was inside cleaning up, and she told him what was going on, that some guy was trying to kidnap her and was chasing her. So when August came into said karate studio, he found her and the guy there, and he decided he was going to start swinging. Well, he got his ass kicked. Randall, the owner of the studio, destroyed him. August had to be taken out on a stretcher.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he has multiple charges for kidnapping, assault, and more.
Over to you, Dave.
All right. Johnny Chan from Portland, Oregon, worked as a pharmacist at Kaiser Permanente.
Yeah.
But back in November, he was busted for hiding a camera in the employee bathroom. So he was fired, and after an investigation, he was indicted on 71 different charges. But while he's waiting for his court date, he gets a part-time job as a cashier at a Banana Republic. And believe it or not, he was recently arrested for hiding another camera in the employee bathroom there. So now he's in jail on $2 million bail and waiting for a camera to be smuggled in for the showers there.
In the herd.
Lastly this morning, everyone should understand this rule. If you put something inside one of your body cavities for safekeeping, it's officially yours. All right, you've taken ownership of it. There is no going back. A 40-year-old guy near Tampa named Wesley Scott was arrested on Friday for an outstanding warrant. And when the cops took him to jail, he claimed he didn't have any drugs or weapons on him. But when they got to jail and they started to strip search him, he produced 3 syringes, from his rectum.
Oh, I thought a machete was bad. Oh, my God.
Then he handed them to one of the guards and tried to claim that they actually did not belong to him.
Oh, classic.
All right. He said he found them somewhere but didn't go into much detail. He's now facing a fresh charge for smuggling contraband into a correctional facility.
In the herd.
The John DiBella Podcast.
He's not the bazaar. He's a very naughty boy.
Philadelphia's
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play our favorite game. Listen to John DiBella count to 20. Your caller 1, caller 2, caller 3, caller 4, caller 5, caller 6, caller 7, caller 8, caller 9, caller 10. Oh, those people weren't there. Where did we leave off? We left off at 9. No, I had two dial
tones. 9, okay.
9. All right, so your caller 9, your caller 10, caller 11, caller 12, caller 13. Hey, how's it feel to be 14, 15, 16? Oh, we're getting close, but no guitar yet. 17, 18, 19. Hi there, who's this?
It's Jerry.
Jerry, you're going to see the Who.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me. Oh, my God, I got to pull out of work. Oh, my God, thank you. Thank you.
You got the tickets. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
Oh,
the Who
God.
Coming to town for one show May 25th, Citizens Bank Park. Tickets going on sale this coming Friday through Ticketmaster.
Oh, my God, thank you. I'm going to cry.
The John DiBella Podcast. Philadelphia's Classic Rock Station 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.